Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's All-In Payments call. My name is Kimberly Cutler. I am the TPM E&P Payments Manager and host of today's call. So just want to let everyone know that the call is being recorded and transcribed. So just want to go ahead and let you guys know that. And we will go ahead and get started today. So again, thank you so much for joining today's call. So we do have a couple of things that we need to cover before we get started. Just some logistics. We want to make sure this is a new platform for us with the All-In Payments call. So we just want to make sure we're all on the same page before we actually get started with covering our agenda topics. So you want to make sure that you remain muted at all times during the call, unless called on by the facilitator. Please feel free to ask questions in the Microsoft Teams chat section, which will be monitored by SSA and TPM. So you do have that option to ask your questions via the chat feature. If you are joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, please make sure that you raise your hand, and you can do that by you're going to do *5. And you will be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you would press *6, and that's going to unmute yourself. So you want to make sure that you're going in that order. Again, making sure that you're raising your hand if you have a question. Now, the question and answer session will be at the end of the presentation. So we just want to note that that's when you would need to actually raise your hand to answer the question. We want to make sure that you also limit your questions to just one. You know, we only have an hour on the call today, but we want to make sure that we're getting as many questions answered that we can. So again, just making sure that you just limit your question to one. We definitely want to make sure that you get all of your questions answered. So if you do have additional questions, please make sure that you contact the E&P Payments Help Desk. And you should be able to see this here on this slide, but I'll just go ahead and read it. So it's E&P Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. So again, one question. And if you have others, please reach out to the help desk. Closed captioning is available for participants when joining using Microsoft Teams application, or you can utilize the separate closed caption link that's provided in the chat. Okay. Now, to turn on closed captions in Teams, go to the three ellipses at the top of Microsoft Teams window, and you'll be able to click there for more actions, and then go down to the list to turn on live captions. So, and you can see the instructions here on this particular slide. All right. And when using the link option, paste the link in the browser, and it will open up in a separate window to view the closed caption. All right. So I just want to thank you in advance. Again, just bearing with us. This, again, is our first All-In Payments call that we're using Teams, but we have a lot of support. We do have SSA staff on board with us and TPM staff, so we have no doubt that it's going to be a great call. So we just want to get the logistics out the way before moving along. Okay. So here you actually are able to see the agenda topics that we're going to cover today. And just wanted to note that the purpose, after we got the logistics out the way, the purpose of today's call is we just want to make sure that we provide clarification on topics that are related to E&P payments processes. So the agenda topics, or the topics that we're going to cover today, we have one announcement, the e-pay file stats, e-pay reminders, use of E&P payment forms. And of course, we will provide valuable resources at the end of the call. And as I mentioned earlier, we will have, after we've concluded with the presentation portion of the call, we actually will have an opportunity for the question and answer session. All right. I think it was around July 6th, SSA did send out a Gov delivery message announcing that the Social Security field offices are now reopened to the public. And just wanted that the offices are open to the general public. They opened up in April. Now, given the increased in-person visits from the public, field offices do not have the capacity to handle paper pay stubs. employment networks should no longer send or take beneficiary pay stubs to Social Security offices on behalf of the ticket holders. We know that that's something that as ENs, you may use that as an incentive to take those pay stubs there on behalf of your ticket holders. So earnings that ENs submit to Social Security via the ticket portal for payment requests are made available to the field offices through their internal processes. ENs can, now you as an EN, you still can mail proof of earnings to the ticket program manager if you are unable to submit them via the portal or fax. So if you want to upload it through the portal, but you do still have the option to fax or mail in that earnings information. And just wanted to note this change, opening that the field officers are now opening up. This change does not affect submitting pay stubs for EN payments. Of course, when we're processing payments, pay stubs would be the earnings of choice. So if you have pay stubs for your ticket holders, please, and when you're requesting for payment, please make sure that you are sending in pay stubs as your evidence of earnings, because that will also hold as your proof of relationship when processing phase one milestones 1 through 3. So again, this announcement did go out to all providers, but we just want to kind of let you guys know that. So, and this is the information regarding the reopening of the Social Security field offices. So we know everyone loves ePay, and TPM and SSA staff, we did complete the last ePay file in June of this year. So here we are, here we have the processing totals. So there were 15,971 total claims processed on the last ePay file. Total SSNs paid were, we had 4,620 SSNs, and we did pay over $8 million on the last ePay file. So, and also just want to let you guys know, today's July 26th. We are anticipating that we are going to start the next ePay file the 1st of August, which, wow, this is the last week of July. So we will start processing the ePay file sometime next week. And just remember, SSA will actually put notification in the ticket portal when we actually start processing the ePay file. So you can look forward to that starting next week. So the 1st of August next week. So because we are starting the ePay file fairly soon, 1st of August, we just wanted to go over a few ePay reminders. So the phase one milestone 4 is paid via ePay. But please remember that, ENs, you must still submit payment requests for phase one milestones 1 through 3 via the ticket portal, and you must provide proof of relationship. So phase one milestone 4 can be picked up or may be picked up on ePay, but you still must request phase one milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included on the ePay file, so you must request for payment via the portal for those tickets as well. ENs must have passed their annual services and support review, and our program integrity department, they are the ones that handle those reviews. So you want to make sure, or in order to be eligible for ePay, you must have passed your annual service and support review. The ePay file is processed in SSN order and not provider ID. So just remember, once that notification goes up that we're processing ePay, you may get a lot of payments, if you're eligible for ePay, you may get a lot of payments at the beginning of ePay, and then you may not, you may get some throughout, and then may get a lot towards the ends because we are processing based in SSN order, not PID order. Just wanted to note too, guys, just remember phase one milestone 4, phase two milestones and outcomes are paid via ePay. So what we would encourage you guys to do is to not submit for these payment types via the portal when ePay file is being processed. Submitting for such payments slows down the processing and causes duplicate claim months. And I will say this, we made this announcement, I think on the April All In Payments call, and you guys did amazing. We did not see a large volume of payment requests for phase one milestone four, for phase twos and outcomes. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we are asking, we do have this same encouragement for the next ePay file. And honestly, for each time we're processing an ePay file, we will ask that you just allow the ePay file to take its course, and just let, you know, for phase one milestone four, phase twos and outcomes. If, of course, if you are an EIN and for whatever reason you are not eligible for ePay, then of course you would, you know, you're going to have to submit for those payment types because you're not on the ePay file. But if you are eligible for ePay, right, you have passed your annual service and support reviews, allow the ePay file to take its course and make those payments, pick up those earnings information if they are in SSA system. And just note that if you do submit for one of those payment types, phase one, milestone four, phase twos, or outcomes during ePay, that SSN will not be processed until it comes up on the ePay list. So just please be mindful of that. And also wanted to note that once we start processing the ePay file, we will continue to process portal claims. So we do it simultaneously. So we don't stop processing portal cases because, of course, you still have to request your phase one milestones one through four through the portal. Unassigned tickets must come through the portal. So again, and if you actually have your earnings information, if you have evidence of earnings, then please submit your payment request because when we're processing ePay, we're going to pick up earnings that are in SSA's database, right? So if the earnings are in SSA's database and all payment criteria are met, then we're going to make the payment. And that's because if you were going to submit a payment based on earnings already proven, because you see it in the system, we're just asking, you know, to let TPM and SSA make those payments and that you not request. But if you do not have the message, you know, earnings already proven in the system, and you do have your pay stubs or employee prepared earnings statement, please go ahead and submit your requests. All right. So just wanted to go over those few reminders when it comes to ePay. So what we're going to move into our next agenda topic, we want to talk about the use of EIN payment forms. We wanted to add this information because we want to make sure that as service providers, when you are requesting payments, that they're, you know, that you're not having to experience any delay in the processing of your payments because we may not have all of the required information. So we just wanted to make you guys bring this, you know, remind you of the forms that are available to you guys when requesting payments. So the first one that we start with is the form 1373, which is the EIN supplement or earnings statement. Now, please remember that this is not a standalone for earnings. It does not satisfy the earnings request. So you must submit this. This is an additional form or additional information that you must submit with pay stubs. And so the supplemental earnings statement, it is used to provide any missing relevant information that's not shown on a pay stub, such as pay period beginning and ending dates, the pay date, your withholding amounts. That is huge. You must make sure that you're providing the withholding amount, total gross earnings, and even your year-to-date gross earnings. So just remember, this form is not a standalone. You cannot just send this in by itself because it's not evidence of earnings. It's a supplemental statement. So if you have the pay stubs that are missing certain information, as noted here, you want to make sure that you send in your pay stubs accompanied by a supplemental earnings statement. And this is what the form actually looks like. This is your EIN supplemental earnings statement. You want to make sure that all of this information is filled out, and you can see your different sections here of the requested information. So if you have your pay stub and the information is missing, just add all of the information here and make sure you're signing this form and making sure that you're checking the box. So in other words, make sure that this form is filled out completely. This is the EIN supplemental earnings statement. All right. The next form we have here is the employer prepared earnings statement. Now, this can be a standalone for earnings. because this is a method of collecting earnings information directly from the ticket holders' employers. So this is your earnings information. So it can be a standalone as earnings. However, when requesting phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three, you must make sure that you also provide your proof of relationship when submitting employee prepared earnings statement. So again, your employer prepared earnings statement, that is proof of earnings, right? If it's filled out completely, that's your proof of earnings. But with phase one milestone one through phase one milestone three, make sure that you also submit proof of relationship with this form. And here is an image of the employer prepared earnings statement. And of course, you know, all of this information must be filled out by the employer. So EINs cannot, you know, submit this information. It must be submitted or completed by the employee. An employer must sign the information, complete the information, sign the form. And again, please make sure that they are checking the box. And that's just letting us know that all the required deductions were taken out for this pay period. So again, making sure this is something that the employer would need to fill out and not the EIN. Okay, that's your employer prepared earnings statement. So now we have proof of relationship form. I've mentioned it a few times. I've mentioned proof of relationship, but this is the actual POR form, if you will. So proof of relationship form. And this is the form, again, when you are requesting phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three, you must provide proof of relationship, because this will be used, this form, the POR form, will be used to show an established relationship with the ticket holder. On the form, now, if you're submitting the proof of relationship form or the POR, you must include a list of services with the dates provided to the ticket holder during the requested milestone period. I cannot emphasize that enough. When you are submitting the proof of relationship form, you must provide a list of services with the dates provided to the ticket holder. And those services and the dates should be during the milestone period. So we just want to make sure that you guys remember that, because we do not want to have to deny your case because of a failed POR, proof of relationship. So again, making sure that you are listing services provided with the dates. And I also just want to note that attempted contact, that is not a service. Leaving a voicemail is not a service. If you're sending an email, we do know that some ends, you know, it may be a follow-up type email to your client. Please be very detailed in what the email was about. So just saying sent an email, again, that is not showing us established relationship with your ticket holder. So please make sure that you are detailed in the services and you are providing the dates that those services were provided. So that's when you're requesting the POR form, the proof of relationship form. Another thing to remember, if you're submitting your pay stubs, the pay stubs will serve in two capacities. The pay stubs will be able to serve as your proof of relationship, and your pay stubs will be able to serve as evidence of earnings. So if you are submitting pay stubs to cover your milestone period, then you do not have to submit the POR form. You are submitting the POR form to show established relationship with the ticket holder when submitting the work number report, when submitting the employee prepared earnings statement. I think that was the other one. Yeah. So you want to make sure that if you're not submitting pay stubs, then you must show that you've established a relationship with your ticket holder during the milestone period, and that's when you would need to submit your POR, the proof of relationship form. Okay. And here is the form, and I'm going to share with you guys in a second where you would be able to locate all of the forms, but this is the proof of relationship form, the first two pages, because I think it's three pages long. But again, making sure that you are filling this information out completely. If you need more room to add your services, then please, by all means, make sure you add that information. But again, this is what we're looking for. This is the first two pages, and there's your final page. So In addition to filling out the service, the detailed list of services provided with the dates that those services were provided, you will also make sure that this is signed. So even if you send it in and it's not signed, it's not valid. So making sure that you sign, Ian, representative, sign and date the form with your submission for payment. Okay. Last but not least, we have the Ian Certification of Services statement. Now, this is going to be used for unassigned tickets. And I know some of you may have a look about your face like, wait a minute, I use that for another service. So you do have, so the Ian Certification of Services statement, it is shared. It is a shared form because it is used by our program integrity staff when they're doing their annual reviews. But it is also used when requesting payments for unassigned tickets. So you have your POR, right? So you have your proof of relationship form. That's when you're requesting phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three. That's your POR, because submitting the POR is for a window of time. It's during the milestone period. EN certification of services forms, when you're submitting a payment request because a ticket has been unassigned by the ticket holder, then you have to provide all services provided. So that's the difference in the forms, because it is used to determine the number of eligible payments to an EN after the ticket was unassigned by the ticket holder. Key word there was unassigned by the ticket holder. So if the ticket was unassigned and you're requesting payment, you would need to have, you must submit your evidence of earnings, right? But you also would need to submit EN certification of services statement. Now, please make sure you note this as well. When requesting assignment or requesting payments for an unassigned ticket, your payment request must be submitted within 18 months of when the ticket was unassigned. So there is a window of time for you guys to get this form in once the ticket has been unassigned. And as I mentioned earlier, you must, you know, for phase one milestones one through three, you want to make sure that you're sharing the list of services. And I just want to make a correction here, because I think if you're submitting your certification of services, that should cover the complete range from when the ticket was assigned. So there's no need to submit the POR. So I want to make that correction there, because I mentioned earlier, the difference is when submitting a proof of relationship or the POR form is for a window of time, is during your milestone period. When you're submitting for your certification of services after a ticket has been unassigned, we're looking for the entire period of when the ticket was assigned. So you don't necessarily need to submit a POR when submitting your EAS certification of services. So just remember, it serves in two capacities. It is used to determine how many payments are may be eligible to an EN after the ticket is unassigned by the ticket holder. And then program integrity, they use it for a different purpose, and that's for when it comes to your annual reviews. So just wanted you guys to be clear about the two different services or the two different reasons why this form is used. And that's your EN certification of services. And here you actually get to see the actual form. The first two pages, you know, kind of, you know, one may say, well, it kind of looks like the POR, right? Because you do have to fill out information on the first page. Second page, you are listing those services. Again, just remembering what we're looking for on this form is a list of services from the time the ticket was assigned until unassignment. All right. And that's the first two pages. And just like with the POR, you have to make sure that all the information is complete and that an EN representative signs the form and that it is dated, right? So that's the use of the EN certification of services form. And as I mentioned earlier, I promised I would share with you where these forms are located. Here you can actually see on the screen, and if I could have someone put it in the chat as well, but the forms are located on the Ticket to Work website. And we have, you can see the link here, and we also put the link. Thank you, Esther. We also put the link in the chat. So you want to make sure you're accessing those forms when you're requesting your payment. And we mentioned this on the call because we do have topics that we cover on each call, but we want to hear from you. We want to make sure that we are covering the topics that you want us to cover, payment related topics. So we invite you to share your topics that you would be interested in discussing through this forum. Of course, our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. So if you have payment related topics that you would like for us to add to our quarterly All In Payments call, please send those topics to In Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And we will definitely take a look at those topics. So again, if you have any topics, thank you, Keetra. We do have that link, email address, I'm sorry, is put in the chat. So again, just make sure that you email that information, any topics. Please make sure you don't put any, you know, PII or anything like that. You're just sending us topics and we will review your suggestions. We have some great resources, and we want to make sure that you guys are aware of the resources that we have available. So you do have the phone lines that are open Monday through Friday. Of course, that's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You have the toll-free number there. You want to make sure you enter or hit option one if you're calling, if you want to reach the beneficiary help desk. Option two, to reach the payments help desk. And if you have system related issues or questions, you're going to hit option three. Now, if you choose the email for payment related issues, I've mentioned this a few times throughout the call, you do have the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com. And if you have questions related to ticket assignment or the service provider website or the ticket portal, then you can send your email to ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And again, please remember, you cannot email PII, personal identifiable information, cannot be emailed. It cannot be in an attachment. It cannot be encrypted. You just cannot send it. So if you are emailing for payment related issues, that for a case, you know, that's already through the portal, you will have a reference number, the SSA reference number or the work case number. You can find that it will be associated with your case in the portal, and you can definitely use that SSA reference number when sending emails to the help desk. So just want to make sure you're taking advantage of those resources. So this concludes the presentation portion of today's call, and we want to open it up for questions at this point. I can see a lot of questions that are coming through the chat right now, so we want to make sure that we open it up for questions. And please remember that if you are on the phone, you want to raise your hand by dialing star 5, and you will be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you could press star 6 to unmute yourself. Right. So just make sure you're raising your hand. We want to make sure we get the questions answered. Now, if you are in the chat, you're going to use your chat to ask your question. Please enter your question in the chat or raise your hand. You will be unmuted by the facilitator, and you would need to click the microphone, kind of like in the top right. Click the microphone to unmute yourself. When asking a question, please make sure that you state your name, your EN name, and then you can ask your question. And just a reminder, we're asking for one question per EN. And again, if you have other questions, we want you to get those questions answered, but please reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk. So what we would do at this point, Keetra, I will be glad to take, or we will be glad to take any questions at this time.
Yes, we do have a raised hand from Angela Sampson. Angela, please unmute your mic and go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, I'm Angela Sampson, and I'm with Work Steady Works in Memphis, Tennessee. And this has been very confusing to me because I have two clients that are in the outcome, and I was told by Payment Desk not to send in their pay stubs during the outcome. One has been in outcome for close to a year. And I was basically concerned that they're going to be overpaid and was on them about taking their pay stubs or at least allowing me to fax their pay stubs to the Social Security office. Now I hear that we can't get that information to them through faxing. Am I supposed to just then start putting these pay stubs into the portal? I mean, from my understanding, they've gotten letters from here recently from Social Security asking them for information about their income, and they've responded. But I'm not sure if their benefits have been suspended as of yet. So what am I supposed to do about this? Send in the pay stubs for both of these clients going back to the time when outcome began? Or what? What do I do?
Okay, so I would suggest, and I don't know if someone from SSA want to jump in, but I would suggest that you continue to send in the pay stubs, and we can enter that information into the system. I understand your concerns about, you know, overpayment for the ticket holder, but I would encourage you to send in the pay stubs. Katie, did you have a different suggestion to her question?
Sorry, yep, trying to come. Oh, I think I have to be unmuted.
Oh, Keetra, can we unmute Katie? I can hear you. I'm sorry, I can hear you, Katie.
Yeah, I've been talking to somebody. Hi. Hi. So, you know, this guidance about the field offices reopening, right? This is recent. This just came out. You know, so we are trying to, you know, try to make the information flow in you know, the correct way. So what we're trying to stop, right, is that the beneficiary is trying to report and then you're trying to report on top of them, right? So in this instance, you know, if they're already communicating with the field office is always already asking for this from them, then yes, they need to continue, right, communicating with the field office, right? We're not saying that ENs, you should go on top of or get in the middle of a process where the field office is trying to work with that particular individual, right? But we're saying if that individual isn't reporting, instead of you reporting on behalf of them, right, to the field office, you reporting to us then gets those verified earnings to the field office. Does that make sense? Because it does seem like you have a very specific scenario, and it might help if you called back, you know, and we could walk through that specific ticket holder with you. But that's what we're trying to show you is that, you know, if you, you know, they have the pay stubs and they're saying the field office, that's the path it should take. But if they're not doing it, you know, then you can definitely send them to us and we'll make sure they get there. Does that help?
They haven't been sending the pay stubs. I've been on them about, you know, sending the pay stubs. So that's when I said, okay, let me send the pay stubs in because I've been collecting them. But after having two or three conversations with the EN help desk, I was told, no, do not send them in because they're going to be denied anyway because their benefits have not been suspended. So do not put them in. So I'm just collecting pay stubs in the file. Meanwhile, I don't know when, you know, I don't know when the benefits are going to be suspended and when I will get outcome. Because right now I'm not getting anything on both of these clients and it's been close to a year.
Kim can jump in, but I would just say, you know, right. So when you call the EM Payments Help Desk, right, they're trying to counsel you about your payments. Mm-hmm. Right. They're not trying to counsel you on the entire situation there. So, right. They were saying that based on the record, right, you submitting that is not going to get you an outcome payment. That doesn't mean that you can't submit those, you know, earnings to us and we will get them in the system. Kim, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you're definitely right, Katie. We want to get the information in. The help desk was right. You know, if, you know, you're saying that the ticket holder, you know, should be an outcome, but they're not. We want to make sure that we get that information in because that may trigger, you know, the suspension of the benefits. But okay, like you said, I would just encourage you go ahead and send that information in. I will follow up with the help desk, just making sure we're all on the same page. But they would, like Katie said, they would just let you know, like, you can send it in, but it's not going to trigger them to go into the outcome period, so they're not going to get paid. But we want to make sure that we get the earnings information in the system. So please go ahead and submit that information.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie. Next question, Keetra.
Yes, we have a question from Diane Roberts. Diane, go ahead. Your line is unmuted. You can unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Thank you. This is Diane Roberts from Inroads to Opportunities in Roselle, New Jersey. And I have a question about split payments. I've noticed that when I download any of the reports, there's always a column asking if it's a split payment. And I've never read anything about it. I have a situation where I think it might be appropriate to split a payment with another nonprofit, but I don't know what the circumstances would be under which that would occur and how it would work if it was appropriate.
Right, of course. So a split payment just simply means that there was a ticket that was assigned to one or more employment network agencies. So so whenever we do receive a payment request, if we can see in the ticket history that particular ticket was assigned to another employment network, then it could become a possible split payment. So there are, rules to the split payment process. So that's the main one, though, is if the ticket was previously assigned by one or more ENs. And if the previous EN has requested payment, like if it's been more than a year since they requested the previous EN requested payment, then it may not be a split payment. But just for the basics of it, that's what it means. A split payment is anytime a ticket was previously assigned to another employment network agency, and then it could become a possible split. But that's something that when you submit for payment would be determined by SSA TPM staff if it is a split. And if it is a split payment, both employment network agencies would be notified of that split payment situation.
So can I just give you a very short scenario, because I know that time is limited. So I have someone's ticket, and there's a local nonprofit agency that would basically not have any compensation if we kept the ticket. But on the other side, I don't really want to give up the ticket, but I would be willing to allow, I guess, to share with them. But I know that a ticket holder can only be assigned to one EN at a time. So is there has that kind of thing ever come up? Because they I'm sorry, go ahead.
So that would be more of an agreement, if you will, that would be worked out outside of EN payments. As far as when you submit for payment, we would only consider, like I said, possible split in that scenario if the ticket was previously assigned to another employment network agency. But if you're working with another company on the outside, that would be something that you guys would work out. Because you're right, the ticket can only be assigned to one provider at a time. So if the ticket was assigned to the other agency previously, and if you are the current ticket, you're holding the ticket and you submit for a request, we would look at that as a possible split. Like I said, there would be notification made to both ENs, but it would give you an opportunity once you both are notified of a possible split. You definitely could work together at that point to resolve how that split will be. And that is included on the, I think it's the SSA 1401 split payment form. So you can work it out outside of payments, but we would just notify you of a possible split if it came to that.
If it was the case. Okay. And then can I just make a comment on the previous question about submitting wages, since I'm a benefits counselor also, just really fast?
Sure.
To help that lady out. The best thing to do is to submit the pay stubs through the local office, to fax it to the local office with the social security number of the individual on each pay stub. And the ticket portal is distinct from submitting wages on behalf of the beneficiary. So that would be my recommendation for the beneficiary to have the best outcome, is that they're pay stubs are being directly faxed to the local office. So I just wanted to say that to help clarify that a little bit. And Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I'll just ask Alexis, do we have any questions in the chat that that we need to address? Or I can see that you guys are really on top of it. So I just wanted to see if there was anything from the chat before we continue.
Yeah, there are quite a, there's a couple questions about the work number and the issue with there being gross earnings and no net earnings. And the ENs are asking, how do they get around that? What do they do? Because, you know, that's just the document they're getting from the work number.
Right. Thanks, Alexis. And I do know that that is a concern that we have, because the work number is an approved source of earnings. And I know lately we have received payment requests where it does not show the withholdings. And I will say this, and I don't know if SSA wants to chime in, but we are not able to accept that document without proof that the actual earning, you know, the withholdings were supposed to be taken out were actually taken out. So we are in a discussion with SSA about this document because, again, it was an approved source. But at the time, I just wanted to note when the work number was approved as a source of earnings, it was the document at the time was providing all of the required information to make the payment. Because the work number is a third party source, I'm not sure, or we're not sure why that change took place, but we do need to make sure that any evidence of earnings that you guys are requesting, it contains the required information and net withholdings. The net amount is what we need. So again, we are working on that. We're meeting with SSA to see how we're going to move forward with the work number and the fact that is not sometimes that the document does not provide the required information. So once we get further guidance, then we'll definitely make sure you guys know. But I will say this right now, if we do receive the work number and it does not have net earnings, we are unable to make that payment.
There's another question from Sandra Alfaro. She says, can you clarify the statement made about proof of relationship regarding voicemail? I was under the impression that this is an official form of contact as long as we document properly.
Okay, great question. So for phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three, those are the initial, those are the initial payments. So during that time, ENs are expected to make at least monthly contact with the ticket holders, and that's a positive contact. So if you're leaving a voicemail, that wasn't a complete contact. So if you submit that information on your proof of relationship form, just left voicemail during, you know, and no other services were provided, then that does not show established proof of relationship. So just be mindful, phase one milestones one through three, that's the initial phase. And that's when Ian should be making that monthly contact, positive contact with the Ian. So yeah, so leaving a voicemail does not show established relationship. And I know that can be frustrating because some ENs are saying they just won't pick up. Then there are other things that may be considered with that relationship. But as far as receiving payment for phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three, we have to show, or you have to show, that positive contact to show us the established relationship.
Another question is, what if you are a secure email partner with SSA? Can we email PII to SSA?
I'll let Katie jump in since she specifically said SSA, because I know TPM, we cannot accept any PII. Katie, did you want to?
Am I showing up?
Yep.
Can you hear me? There I am. Yep. There's this weird lag. Sorry. Yes, if you have been established as a secure partner and you have, you know, confidence that you are a secure partner, I would make sure first, just to make sure you're safe, you know, if you have not, whoever you are emailing, I would make sure first that they're okay accepting it from you. I am not sure which email address you're planning to try to email with PII, but, you know, I would start with an initial email verifying that it's okay before you do, you know, before you just send PII over the secure connection. Just because, you know, things do change and we have a secure list that, you know, we check every time we send emails. So I wouldn't say, you know, just go blast PII to an email address, because we do try to be very careful with that.
All righty.
And if someone wants to jump on who had that question, you know, I'm happy to discuss it further.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Katie.
And I have one more for now. Can
Sure.
Someone asked, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting to write note the name of who asked it. I just keep copying and pasting into a Word document. We have questions about support service assistance that we can give our clients. Is there a link where all the rules are listed?
I'm sorry, Alexis, could you reread the question?
Because we have questions about support service assistance that we can give our clients. Is there a link where all the rules are listed?
I don't know of a link that lists. I'm assuming they're asking what services do they provide. Hopefully I'm understanding, but I don't know that we have a list. Katie, are you aware of any such lists? I don't think so.
I would assume this would be part of the new EN training, right? You're talking about the services and supports review that we're going through and reviewing the services and supports you're providing for your ticket holders based on your review, and you wanted to know what you're expected. I don't have the link off the top of my head. But that should definitely be something you were trained on and we provided clarity on. And if you do not know, I would recommend reaching out to Program Integrity. Do we have that email address in the chat?
It's not there yet, but if we could have someone enter that, the email address to contact Program Integrity.
But yeah, if you're talking about that general, you know, yearly review, then that is the team I would put you towards. If you're talking about the services for, you know, the proof of relationship, that's a different question. So based on the question that was read, that's what I think the answer is.
Okay. Yeah. And if we're not, you know, if that, because I know it's coming from the chat, so it's kind of hard to interpret what it means or what the exact question is. So please reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk so that we can make sure we're answering your question correctly, right, and providing you with whatever resources you need to get that information. Okay, thanks, Katie. Thanks, Alexis. And Keitra, back to you. Do we have other questions?
Yes, we do have a question, hand raised from Whitney Willis. Whitney, go ahead. Your line is unmuted. You might have to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So I have a question about, and maybe I missed it. I was kind of late to the joining, but I've heard several people. I was told that we cannot report, as ENs, cannot report wages directly to the field office via fax anymore. But then I've heard people said that you still could. So what is the right answer? And so I've been mailing them in, but that takes entirely too long for them to get them. So what is the right, how can I get those wages in to the field office? Do I need to do it via, you know, you guys, or can I still do it via fax to the local field office, or do I need to continue doing it by snail mail?
Okay, this is a SSA thing, Katie, so
yeah.
I'm going to hand it
over. Right, so we're asking you to discontinue, right, sending it via snail mail. And someone did put up in the chat, right, we do encourage them, the ticket holder on their own, right, to report, self-report. There's a phone number, you know, there's the website, there's making a MySSA account, right? So we do encourage them, you know, to do it themselves. But if you have the pay stubs, right, yes. And I do want to make it clear here, right, the portal is based on payment request. So you have these pay stubs in your possession, and I'm making the assumption here that those are based on payments you would request. If you have pay stubs based on payments you would request, then you would actually be getting those earnings verified on SSA systems faster if you submitted to us via the portal. Someone here at the ticket program manager, Cognizante, when they get your payment request in the portal and they see the earnings that you've faxed in, right, and uploaded in the portal, when they see those, they look at those earnings, they verify those earnings, and they go right to the same place the field office views as when the field office itself gets it. So it would actually be faster for you to send it to us than it would be to have it set on a fax machine at the field office.
So just definitely way, like I'm requesting a payment.
Faster than snail mail. But like I said, this should be really, you know, the portal is for payments. So if you have a pay stub for a month that has nothing to do, right, with your relationship with the ticket holder, you know, after their ticket assignment. Right, you can't submit old pay stubs to us. Just want to make that part clear, right, because the ticket portal, you know, yeah, you should be requesting valid payments.
Absolutely.
And if you have the pay stubs to support those payments, and I would say this for anyone, if you are requesting a payment and you have a pay stub right in front of you, even if you get the message, earnings already proven, if you have that pay stub in front of you, please submit it to us. Right. It makes everything so much easier. So that's the bottom line, I think, from our perspective on the Ticket to Work program is if you have a pay stub and you're requesting a payment, send it to us. We're going to get it on the record faster and you'll get paid faster.
Okay. Question. Does that help? What if it's not enough to meet a payment and I just need to report those earnings to Social Security to let them know that they need to continue getting, because not all of my clients are meeting SGA status, and don't make enough for payment. But I still need to report those wages to Social Security so they can continue to get their, you know, their benefits and everything. How would that work?
Kimberly Cutler posted in the chat methods of reporting wages on the chat.
Right. So just the number and then on the my SSA website.
Right. Yes. So thanks, Alexis. Yeah. So I did provide that information in the chat of the different methods of reporting your wages.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I wish we had a screen for that out for everyone. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Sorry.
But no, that was a great answer to my question. Thank you so much for that.
All right. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Katie. All right, Keitra, next question.
Yes, the next question is from Charmaine. I am allowing you to access your mic now. Please go ahead and state your name and the EN you're calling from and your question. Charmaine, you may have to unmute yourself. I've unmuted you from our end.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let me try that again. It's on mute.
Now you're back on mute, I think.
How's that?
There you go.
See, and it says mute on it. I guess I got to go back to school. Okay, this is Employment Network Hawaii. Aloha. Nice to talk to all of you. Nice to see you in person, Kim. Because I bother your station, not you personally, but all of your agents every day just to make sure they're on their toes and because I need them badly.
Thank you so much. Keep them on their toes. Thank you.
I will. Here's my question. I have been waiting, and I know this is nobody's fault, but it involves the IRS. Waiting for verification of wages in my fifth month now, going on into the sixth. And the wages were entered into the portal, established, everything was lovely. And then I was told, wait for verification. These are like 9 months of wages. Wait for verification. How long is the usual wait? I mean, the lady paid her taxes. She's a really good participant. She works all the time. But from self-employment, she went to regular employment. So that's good for me. That's easy to report, but these are back they're back wages to me because I haven't been paid. And I get a code 15, which according to the help desk, that's it. That's how that's the only code that was semi-appropriate. So I just wanted to know from everybody, what is the wait? I mean, I might die before I get paid. This might be years. What is the usual wait for the IRS to verify wages for self-employment?
Anybody? Well, I'll say this. We don't want you to die before you get paid.
Well, I might, Kim, if it keeps up. This is 5 months
going. No, we're not going to speak that into existence. But to answer your question, as far as how long, I know Katie, see, I'm looking at her. I hope you can see my eyes kind of going. Yes. I know, and it's not probably what you want to hear, but of course, TPM, you know, on this side of the payments, we have no control over that. Process cases real time, you know, as the information populates in SSA system. I do not have it takes 2 months, it takes 5 months, because we're not on the back end of that. But I mean, you know, all I can do is just, you know, say, you know, keep checking with the help desk, you know, when the information updates, submit. You know, when you know the information, what information we're just waiting to hear. But unfortunately, I don't have a time frame. But I'm glad, like, you know, you're encouraging them, you know, to file their taxes early. The earlier, the better, so we can get that information in. But again, that's outside of the actual payment realm, so I'm not sure. Katie, did you have anything to add or?
Yeah, I mean, right, we're at the same place. It's usually yearly. We're definitely not in the place yet where the whole year is populated. So, you know, we don't have any control either. If it's only been 5 months, it could take 12. So it is just, unfortunately, yearly data.
Okay. I just want you all to know I do not encourage it. I don't encourage self-employment. As soon as someone tells me, oh, I think I want to get into my own, I say, really? Are you serious? Because right now is not a good time. However, that's because we're very small, family-owned. I'm a one-person operation, and we can't wait forever for payment. It's just really tough. And this is a big bill for us. So I just wanted to put it out there that not that it's going to make any difference. Has anybody ever had any difference made by the IRS by complaining? Send me a fax on that one. Okay. I really enjoy these meetings. Thank you very much. All the way from Hawaii, we wish you a big aloha.
Thank you so much. All right, Keitra, do we have any other questions?
Yes, we do have a hand raised from Barbara Velmont. You are unmuted. Barbara Velmont? You're unmuted. You may need to unmute yourself, your line.
All right, she may just be having a little issue, so we'll move on. Oh, hello?
Hello?
Hi, we can hear you.
Okay, yes, I'm with the Orange Grove Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I think you may have answered one of the questions I was going to ask. It's regarding the number to report the wages. I have two clients that have been trying to report their wages using that number, but it doesn't work. So, but you listed here the same number that they've been dialing. So I was wondering if there was a different number that they can call to get that set up.
At this point, that's the only number that I am aware of.
And my other question is, should we as EN encourage our clients to do report their wages both to us and to Social Security?
I definitely would tell you to encourage them to, I would say both. We don't want you to, like Katie said, we don't want, you know, to be a duplicate effort as far as it going to SSA or to the field office. But the purpose of payments, and that's, I have to just stay in my lane when it comes to just payments. Of course, if you have proof of earnings, you know, the pay stubs, we want to get that information in because you want to get paid. That's the way you're going to be able to get paid. But yes, it is the responsibility of the ticket holder to report their wages, right? So we want to make sure that you're definitely encouraging them to do that and using the methods in which are provided that we put there, you know, as far as calling and whatnot to make sure. So yeah, I would suggest both because again, as the EN, you want to make sure that you're getting paid. So you have to have the earnings, right, to meet the payment criteria. So I would just say yes. So encourage the ENs to report the ticket holders to report their earnings, and then of course, and they provide those earnings to you, so we can make sure to get it in so you can get paid timely.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I know we have about a minute to go. So Keitra, I'm going to take a question from you. And then Alexis, if you have anything else, we'll take a question from the chat. So Keitra.
Yes, we have a hand raised from Angela Sampson. Your line is unmuted. You may have to unmute yourself and go ahead and ask your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you answered it. I think someone responded. I'm just going to go ahead and do as you all ask and just put them in the portal and you'll have information. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So there's one last hand raised from Eddie Alva. You are now unmuted. And you will need to unmute your line, sir. Eddie Alva, you can go ahead and ask your question by unmuting your line.
Yeah, hi. I have a question. If my organization stops using the work number, how can I use what I'm going to use, or what can you accept?
I'm sorry, Eddie. I can barely hear you.
Okay. It's my organization stops using the work number for budget purposes. So what can I use now to when I request payment?
Okay, I think if I understand your question right, you said if you stop using the work number, what can you use to request payments?
Yes, ma'am.
Pay stubs would be great. So of course that's what we prefer. So because you're going to have to show, again, when you're asking for phase one milestones one through phase one milestone three, you're going to have to show proof of relationship. So if you should be in contact with your ticket holders, be able to get pay stubs. Also, being in contact, having that relationship with the ticket holders, you could do an employer prepared earnings statement. But that's the main thing, you know, have that relationship with your ticket holders and be able to get the pay stubs, have them submit their pay stubs to you. That is the best and fastest way to receive payment.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And we will take, thank you so much, Keetra, for your help today. We'll take one more question from the chat. Alexis, if you have anything.
Scrolling through, I think we've answered most of the main items. There was a lot of repetitive questions.
Okay.
They're asking about the recording of the meeting.
Okay. And I don't know if you answered it yet, but just for everyone, the recording will be published to the Ticket to Work website probably in the next week or so. We will get the recording posted along with the transcript. And the presentation will be placed there as well. So we will get that information out to you guys in a couple of weeks. All right, so it's about 2 past the hour. So I just want to thank everyone for their participation. Thank you for your questions in the chat. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for, we made it through the first time using this platform as Teams. I think it was a great, I like the platform. Thank you so much, Katie, for your support and answering the questions. And thank you to the individuals to Keetra and Alexis for the chat. So again, with that being said, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we look forward to meeting with you all again in October. I think that's going to be our next call. And please remember, if you have any questions, you have those resources there, please reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk. So enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much.